Student, fellow students, the United States Marine Corps welcomes you to one of the higher seats of learning known as Napoleon's Retreat, where serious students of Dixieland music face south at the drop of a downbeat. To guide us in our studies, we have the famous American musicologist, composer, writer, and lecturer, Mr. Deems Taylor. Our musical ensemble is the widely acclaimed Memphis Five under the baton of Maestro Phil Napoleon. Fellow students, it's my pleasure to present Mr. Deems Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Some university students have written us asking for a description of our concerts and also asking us to explain how they compare with a recital in, let us say, Carnegie Hall. Well, actually, there's not a great deal of difference. However, one might be aware of the difference in the seating arrangement. Here at Napoleon's Retreat, the audience is seated around small tables, rather than in the long rows of seats we find at Carnegie Hall. Perhaps the most noticeable difference lies in the conduction of Maestro Philip Napoleon. At Carnegie Hall, the conductor faces his orchestra with his back to the audience and starts a composition with the movement of a baton. Now, Maestro Napoleon has always felt that this was a bit rude, not to say uncouth, and so we find that he faces the audience with his back to his orchestra. And instead of a baton, he starts his orchestra by raising one foot from the floor as he glances back over his shoulders to see if his musicians are awake. And when he is satisfied that all is in readiness, he brings his foot down sharply on the stage twice, and the concert commences. Listen for this now, as Maestro Napoleon opens with the overture, Sensation Rag.
When a college man selects his college or university, he makes his choice only after much serious thought. And well he should, for the education and training he receives there will have a direct bearing on his future life. In addition to high academic standards, the average collegian selects a school of which he can be proud, one which identifies him with successful alumni. Well, that's the way college undergraduate and graduate should approach the problem of his military service. The branch of service chosen should offer him the best training, give him every opportunity to get ahead on his own merit, and at the same time be a service with a record of which he can be proud. The United States Marine Corps offers that opportunity to college men by means of its two officer candidate programs, the Marine Corps Platoon Leaders Class and the Officer Candidate Course prepare selected college men to serve as officers in and chair the proud traditions of a famous military organization. There is none in the world better known for its pride and traditions than the United States Marines. Its alumni have left their marks on the pages of our history since 1775. Its training has become synonymous with excellence. Its record is known to the world. If you would like to share these proud traditions as a Marine officer, write the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Washington 25, D.C., for details.
Some time ago, during one of our musical study periods, we explored the fitness of the string bass to function as a doghouse. Of course, we have long known that doghouse is the classic term for the bass viol. To accomplish this, we equipped a bass viol with a trap door and borrowed a basset hound named Gertrude for the experiment. We discovered that the bass does indeed make very suitable quarters for a dog. But since that time, one of our listeners from Stanford University wrote us a very provocative letter. He posed the problem of what would happen should a musician be called to play an engagement while his dog was occupying the instrument. Well, we think this is very interesting and decided to test the result this evening. So we again borrowed Gertrude and have placed her inside a string bass. Gertrude seems quite happy, so Mr. Pete Rogers will now play Pizzicato Polka to determine if the basset hound in any way affects the tone of the instrument. Well, that would seem to answer our friend's letter. It appears that it might be better to leave the dog at home. So now let us turn to a composition that needs no program notes whatsoever, as we hear Mr. Pete Rogers feature the doghouse sans dog in Mr. W.C. Handy's immortal St. Louis Blues. We'll be right back. Our thanks to Mr. Pete Rogers for that excellent demonstration of the pizzicato technique of the bass viol or doghouse. While Mr. Rogers cleans the rosin off his fingers, and while the stage is being cleared of the many generous offerings of vegetables supplied by the audience, I will speak briefly of our next tone poem. It springs from the pens of Messrs. Henry Creamer and Turner Layton, and they have titled it After You're Gone. In the Memphis Five's reading of this work, our maestro, Phil Napoleon, features Mr. Gale Curtis on the clarinet. We will note the purity of tone, subtle interpretation, and barrel house blasting. As he performs this plaintive work, Mr. Curtis carries a melodic line from the depths of despair to the heights of oblivion. I see that all is in readiness, and that the other members of the orchestra have donned their earmuffs, and so the tone poem, After You Are Gone, will follow directly.
And lots of young men will thank me if they act on this tip. The United States Marine Corps is looking for the cream of the college crop to train as its officers. So get the facts. Write to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Washington 25, D.C., and see the Marine Corps procurement officer the next time he is on your campus. And now, Deems Taylor.
So now, from the home of Dixieland Music, this is Deems Taylor bidding you good night for Maestro Napoleon and his Memphis Five, and for our writer-producer, Ward Byron.